Good morning, and welcome once again to Mornings for the Master, right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your host each Thursday here on Mornings for the Master, and thank you for listening to TGRN and Mornings for the Master. Each weekday, you can hear Mornings for the Master at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. It is replayed at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time in the evening and then posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or two. Now, each day has a different course of study, and here on our Thursday program, last week, we completed our study of 2 Peter, which we had been in for some time. And if you missed any of those lessons or would like to go back and study further, just go to the on-demand section and there you can find it under Mornings for the Master. Now today we're going to begin a short study of the book of Philemon. Now Philemon is a power-packed little book. The author of this book is the Apostle Paul. It is clearly identified in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. As far as the time of the writing of this letter, most scholars place the date of writing around 62 AD. It was written about the same time as the letters to the Colossians, the Ephesians, and the Philippians. These letters were written while Paul was a prisoner in Rome. Notice in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul wrote, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. He was there with his fellow prisoner, Aristarchus. Verse 18 says, the salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains, grace be with you. Amen. So Colossians was definitely written while Paul was imprisoned. Now, if we go to Ephesians chapter 6, we see that it also was written from prison. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul wrote, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. To the Philippians, he would write from prison also. Notice chapter 1, verse 13. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Also, in Philippians 4:22, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. And then, of course, in our text for today in Philemon, we see it was written from there, in Philemon, verses 22 and 23. But meanwhile, also, prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. He anticipated being released from his prison and being able to come and to visit Philemon. Now we find that Tychicus would deliver Paul's letters to the Ephesians and the Colossians, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. Also, Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we see he delivered that letter also. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your heart. We find that Onesimus was a companion of Tychicus. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Now, concerning the letter to Philemon, David Lipscomb wrote, "It was a letter of commendation of a slave of Philemon, who had run away from his master on account of some offense he had committed. By some means he fell under the influence of Paul in Rome, who taught him the gospel, to which he became obedient and then desired to return to his master." Barnes, in his commentary, said this letter is almost wholly of a private character, and yet there is scarcely any portion of the New Testament of equal length which is of more value. The book of Philemon can be broken into five parts. The first being Paul's salutation or greeting. The second would be Paul's expression of gratitude for Philemon. And then the third, the heart of the letter, would be Paul's intercession on behalf of Onesimus. And fourthly, that would be Paul's confidence in Philemon. And fifth and finally, Paul's closing salutation. So now let's begin to dig in to Paul's letter to Philemon. Now, as we noted, this begins with Paul's greetings. Verse 1 says, "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother." Paul was a prisoner in Rome at the time that he wrote this letter. The reason that Paul was a prisoner was because of his faith. But Paul would say that he is more bound to the Lord Jesus than any Roman chains. Now, Paul, in this letter, does not identify himself as an apostle. Remember that this is a private letter, not one to a large group, a whole congregation. And Philemon, being a known brother to Paul, would certainly have been fully aware of the authority that Paul would carry as an apostle of Jesus Christ. But Paul does not use this letter to make a demand of Philemon, but instead he makes a very tender appeal to the beloved Philemon. But now Paul would at times identify himself as an apostle when he found it necessary. We could note he did in the letter to the Galatians in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Also, to the Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. We find that Paul also sends greetings to Philemon. Philemon had apparently done much to benefit Paul. Again, verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. He identifies him as a fellow laborer. The Apostle Paul would not throw out a compliment like that lightly, especially a man like Paul, who would confront the Apostle Peter face to face. And so, if Paul commended him, then he was well deserving. Let's notice verse 2. To the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. So he noted two here in this verse by name. Apphia, this is possibly the wife of Philemon, but that would only be speculation. But it is obvious that Apphia is a beloved sister in the Lord, whoever she might be. And he mentions Archippus. Archippus is described by Paul here as a fellow soldier, one who obviously was dedicated to and had in all likelihood suffered hardship for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of the scholars believe that Archippus was the son of Philemon, but again, that is only speculation. He is mentioned in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Now notice that. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Now we know nothing else about him, but he probably preached to the Colossians at some point, as Colossians 4 and verse 17 would seem to suggest. And a third greeting we find in verse 2 was to the church in the house of Philemon. A congregation met in the home of Philemon. That was normal in that day. It wasn't typical to have the buildings like we gather at today. We do not know whom the other members of this congregation were, if any, besides these few. But this does point out that there would not be anything unscriptural about the church meeting in a home. Now, verse 3, Paul continues to extend his salutation. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This was always Paul's wish, for God's grace to be upon the saints. And Paul always desired peace for his brethren. Paul desired spiritual peace and physical peace. But a peace of spirit is something far greater than physical peace. Do you believe that is what Paul desired the most for the brethren? That spiritual peace would be even greater? In fact, is there anything greater that you could wish for your brethren than for them to have grace and peace? In verse 4, Paul now begins to show his appreciation for Philemon, his love for him. He said, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers." Philemon was obviously of great help to Paul in furthering the cause of Christ in his daily walk. To have an apostle take the time to pray for you by name on a regular basis would certainly be a great blessing for Philemon. In fact, consider James chapter 5 and verse 6 to further illustrate that point. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The prayer of Paul would be very effective for Philemon. I know that I certainly want righteous men and righteous women to pray for me. I would think we all would. Paul spent a great deal of time in prayer every day, and he prayed for many brethren, specifically on a regular basis, and this is in spite of being a very busy man. Notice a few examples. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. Verse 16. "Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. The faithful are much in need of prayer on their behalf. Do we pray for those who are laboring around us? I hope we do. Now back to our text. Verse 5 says, "Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." Paul shows his sincere gratitude toward Philemon. Paul, knowing of the love and faith toward Christ that was in the heart of Philemon, was going to make it a much easier task in approaching Philemon with the difficult matter of the situation with Onesimus. Now, how touchy could this situation be? Now let's consider that Paul knew of the kindness and the love of Philemon toward the brethren. Paul was bold enough to feel that Philemon would act upon this matter with a heart of love and kindness in dealing with his new brother, Onesimus. Now, for Paul to feel this way, Philemon had obviously shown his faith to this point by his works. The faithful Christian will live in this way. Consider James chapter 2, beginning in verse 17. About as we think of Philemon's works. "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." You see, then, that a man is justified by his works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now let's consider 1 John chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Philemon was a man living in the manner of the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit would not have moved Paul to write such things if it were not truth. Let's now notice verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, the different versions here, the New King James says the sharing of your faith. The original King James has communication here, and the American Standard Version has fellowship. But the Greek word is the same meaning as used in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. There it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. It said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. The picture would symbolize all three renderings, whether communication, fellowship, or sharing, their deep meaning. Paul wanted Philemon's love of the Word of God to come out eagerly and to come out enthusiastically and in an effective way. Philemon's love for the brethren had been demonstrated in his actions, and Paul wanted it to be effective and full of energy. If Philemon realized how blessed and fortunate he was, then he would be more likely to forgive and accept Onesimus back as a brother. Burton Kaufman wrote, he said, at this point in his commentary, that the name of Onesimus, not yet mentioned by Paul, nevertheless is in the background of all that Paul wrote in these verses, a part of the delicacy and charm of this epistle lie in the very hesitation on the part of Paul in bringing up what must have been considered to be a very unpleasant subject with his friend Philemon. Paul cleared the ground and cultivated the soil very carefully before planting the name of Onesimus when we get to verse 10. Now verse 7 says, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Paul writes of the great joy that he and other acquaintances of Philemon feel when they see and witness the Christian kindness and love that is shown by Philemon to others. This was the attitude of our Lord. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Paul also told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 18, "For they refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men." Paul refers to Philemon here as his brother. Obviously, to call someone a brother would imply a very close bond. Brother or sister is a term that we should not throw around lightly. We hold closely those that we refer to by such terms as dear, close, and loved in the Lord's family. And now, Paul, in verse 8, begins to make his intercession for Onesimus. Notice verses 13 through 16. "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Now back to verse 8. "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting." And so begins Paul's intercession on behalf of Onesimus. Now it must be understood that Paul had the authority as an apostle to command Philemon to take back Onesimus. But now, in verse 9, he said, "Yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you." He will not order Philemon to properly, immediately take back Onesimus. He wanted Philemon to do the proper and right thing of his own will. Paul is about to request that Onesimus be taken back by Philemon as a slave in his service. Remember now, the Lord did not tell them to release their slaves as a direct command. But we must consider the effect that the teaching of Christ would soon have on the institution of slavery, for it is incompatible with the teaching of Christ, and as the church would move to maturity, it would bring about the end of that in the true church. The power of the gospel would in time lead to the realization of the wrongness of such a practice. For indeed, if we were to follow the golden rule that Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount, how can a brother possibly hold a brother against his will? Now let's consider verses 9 through 11. Yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Paul pleads with Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, whom Paul regards as a son in the faith. Paul pleads to him as Paul the aged. Certainly, the passage of time and the years of suffering and labor were taking a toll on Paul at this time. So Paul pleads for Onesimus due to his help to him as a prisoner. Paul was a prisoner for simply spreading the gospel. He further spread the gospel while in prison chains to people that helped take it to more places. Paul converted Onesimus while he was in prison. We know that he did receive visitors while in prison. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Now, let's move to verses 12 through 14. I am sending him back. You, therefore, receive him that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Onesimus was on his way back to Philemon. The Colossian letter was probably delivered on the way. As we noted earlier in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Paul admits that Onesimus was not profitable to Philemon in times past. But now Paul tells him that he is profitable to both Philemon and Paul. Paul certainly could have kept Onesimus with him, and he would have been of great aid to Paul. He would have done what Paul says Philemon would have done if he were there. He could have just sent a letter by Tychicus, told him what had happened, and kept Onesimus. And Philemon would have had no choice but to accept the explanation of Paul. However, Paul wanted to do what was most right. And the most right thing to do would be to send Onesimus back to Philemon in person and let Philemon make a decision about what to do with Onesimus. We're going to conclude here for today. And next week, if the Lord wills, we will pick up in verse 15 as we conclude next week our study of Philemon. I hope that you'll be here to join me. Now, I encourage you to remember that this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or two. I hope also that you'll tune in tomorrow with Chip Horton as your host for the Friday edition of Mornings for the Master. Hope you'll stay tuned throughout the day for the programming here on the Gospel Radio Network. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.